Amen. Grab a seat, church. He's so worthy of it all. God is so good. Amen. Amen. I want to celebrate for a moment what happened last Sunday at Easter. If you joined us for Easter last week, thank you so much. What an amazing Sunday we had at the Cohen. What a Sunday. What a Sunday. We had dozens of people accept Jesus as Lord and put their faith in Jesus last week. We had healings, and we celebrated. How many celebrated it last Easter? Come on, last week at Easter. What a time we had. Come on. The voices in the room. It was my favorite moment. Just overwhelming peace and joy and celebration. God is so good. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say good morning. I'm so glad you've joined us today. So glad you're here, finding your new seat. We're in a series, which we started before Easter, and I'm going to be quick today, but we started a new series before Easter called Keys. And I honestly believe it's for this season as a church. There's something happening in our faith level. When you actually put keys in people's hands, it gives you new levels. When we rented this building, they walked up and said, hey, here's some sets of keys so you can get into different storerooms and different back levels and set up your sound. Keys give you new levels and new access. We've been going through this series, going through scriptures that we believe are vital to our faith, vital to your growth, putting them to memory. And some of you have been putting them to memory. I'm telling you, it's amazing how often you need it in a week, need it in a prayer time, need it in a moment when you have these things and keys. We believe you're not just here to attend. You're not just walking through this faith journey, just trying to get through. We believe there's new levels, new devils, and God wants you to take ground and go to another level in your faith. You need some keys to do that. We've been in this series going through memory verses, and today I want to read starting in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to find our key today. Matthew chapter 6, start reading in verse 31. Matthew chapter 6, you'll see it on the screen behind me if you don't have your Bible. If you have your Bible, I encourage you, bring it. If you don't have one, we have free ones upstairs. You can take them. We bought them with your money, so take it. There's Bibles upstairs. There's something about the Word of God. Underline it, highlight it. Messy Bible, clean life, I've learned. Messy Bible, clean. Do not leave your Bible in the back of your car. Leave it here. Something about your Bible. Underline it. Verse 31 of Matthew chapter 6. So don't worry about these things. What we'll eat, what we'll drink, what we'll wear. That sums up so much of what I worry about. What I eat, how I'm going to get groceries, what we're going to drink, what's going to be in my fridge, what we're going to wear, clothing and cars and houses and all these things. It says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Verse 34, Jesus says it again. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Today I want to talk the key. Your key today is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. That's your title for today. Let's pray. Let's believe for God's presence over these next few minutes. Be more than, this is not a TED talk. It's not a mic talk. Anybody get that joke right there? It's not a TED talk. It's not a Lee talk. It's not a Matt talk. It's not a mic talk. It's more than just inspirational. It's more than just educational. We believe the next few minutes are going to be transformational. I honestly believe you cannot encounter the Word of God and not leave different. And sometimes we're sitting there going, well, that's for the new people. No, it's not. It's for the preacher this morning, this afternoon. It's for you. It's for our worship team. The Word of God changes us. Thank God, I'm not where I was, but I'm not where I need to be yet. God is working on me. Anybody else in this room? If you're married, look at your spouse and go, he's working on you. God needs to change some of us in this room. Amen. We're going to believe for a moment of transformation in this place. Father, I thank you for this morning. God, I want to bless this church. I thank you for Pastor Chris and the leadership. Thank you for their open doors and open arms for us in this place. Father, I pray you bless them today. God, we thank you for those that have joined us online and are in person today. Father, I thank you for these moments, more than just attending a religious activity, more than just checking a box on a schedule. Father, we're desperate to encounter your presence. Holy Spirit, I love you. So thankful you're here. Would you fill us? Would you light me on fire? Father God, would you reveal your word? Would there be a passion in our worship and our preaching and our praise? Because you are worthy of it all. God, I pray these next few minutes will be life-changing. Alter destinies, affect histories, change tomorrows. God, your word does not return empty or void, and we expect a miracle today. And God, we agree to get together today, Lord, for a building for Nova Church. We agree together. God, provide a building, provide land. Help us in this next step. You are faithful, and we believe. And everybody said, amen. Oh, I hope your faith is louder than your amen. And everybody said, amen. God is good, amen. Our key today, seek the kingdom of God. Verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above everything else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I can't tell you how many times I focus on that verse, usually when I got some needs. Anybody got some needs in the room? Sometimes I got more month than money. Am I the only one in this room? Come on. Sometimes I got some needs and I got some wants. I got some stuff. And usually when I'm pressed up against the wall, I'm reminded if I seek first the kingdom of God, he'll look after my needs. Needs are not a new thing. Doesn't matter if it's a new house or an old house. Doesn't matter if it's 2024 or in Jesus' day. People had needs. And this key is key to our faith. I want to focus firstly on the word seek. Seek. That word's the one I want to focus on. Now, I've played hide and go seek even just recently last year in Florida when Nancy went to Target. Come on, where are my Target people? Or Target, as some of you call it. Nancy, she was like, I got to go to Target. And me and the kids, my 20-year-old son and my 17-year-old daughter played hide and go seek for 2 hours in Target. That's what we do. God's still working on me. I still need some maturity in my life. We played hide and go seek in Target, and they hid, and I sought them for 2 hours. Hide and go seek. That word seek is passionately pursued, deliberately put effort into looking for. It's an intentional focus to find. Seek. Many of you know what it's like to seek something, to go after something with passion. Had a moment of reflection last week as we pulled into the Cohen, and I saw the flags for Nova Church outside the Cohen, and I just had this moment of realizing of going after something and starting something and seeking something. And I went back to the early days of this church. When we started Nova, I remember it was like, man, we gotta seek this out, we gotta figure this out, we gotta passionately go after launching a church. Starting something never just happens automatically. You gotta go after it. You gotta be deliberate. You gotta be passionate. I remember, I don't think I've ever told this story. Some of you know this story, but three of the original families that started this church, the Murphys, the McClagans, and the Millers, we decided to go and put door hangers on every door in Larry Utak area of our city. We got hundreds, thousands of door hangers that go over people's doors and say, hey, church is launching September 17th, 2017. You're going to want to be there. There was a map on it. There was pictures on it. There was a website on it. And we went door to door. We grabbed our kids. We made our kid. This church was started on child labor is what this church was started on. And we went door to door. Why? Because we realized it's awful hard to yell at a kid. We thought if a cute little kid goes up to the door, we're studying a church, and put it on the door hanger, less likely to be angry or upset. So as good parents, we just stayed in the road and sent our kids up to climb the high stairs and the high driveways, and we put thousands of these things out. I remember I drive through that neighborhood last week, driving through Larry Utak, thinking we covered all these streets, all these doors, all these neighborhoods. I look back and go, man, we were passionately pursuing. We were seeking. We were deliberate with our effort in putting out these things. I thought anything worth seeking is usually deliberate with passion. I was thinking about who's going to gather in this room today, the examples of in this room of seeking something with passion in this room. Many of you know very well what it's like to seek something with passion. Some of you, it's starting a business, the hustle of raising capital. I think about those in this room that started coffee shops and businesses and real estate industry and all these different things of raising capital, solving problems, figuring out your location, how to reach your customers, what are you going to do for advertising, all the things you got to figure out pre-pandemic, in the pandemic, post-pandemic, and the hustle of starting a business. Others in this room, I think about the fitness journey. Some of you have been on a fitness journey and the deliberate seeking of early morning runs and workouts and late nights and changing your eating habits and the deliberate passion to see a change in your life. When you seek change, it never happens with casualness. There is a passion to it. Some of you building your own house and you understand the sweat work and the organizing and the long hours and looking for deals and figuring out which tradespeople you need to hire and doing the work yourself and from the ground up. I think of even Marianne in our church and her journey in the last few years of building a house. Man, it's not casual. It's work. The sweat that goes into seeking to build your own house. And some of you, it's changing your careers in this season. Some of you, man, you're 30, you're 40, you're 50 going, I feel like I need to change my career. And the studying while still keeping your current job and navigating late hours and new skill sets and new levels of focus and risking, leaving stability and going into uncertainty and risk. Whenever you seek something with passion, there is a deliberate attempt to change. When I think about that word seek, it's not casual. It's not just, let's just see what will happen. Que sera, sera. There is a passion and a deliberate to it. This is what Jesus is saying here when he says seek the kingdom of God. We fight religion. I fight it daily. It's just that casualness of, I know what I'm doing. I got enough God to get rid of the guilt, but not enough God to blow the fuzz off a peach. Come on, somebody. But my Bible says it's not a form of godliness with no power, but there is power. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That there's power. Not a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Seeking is anything but complacent or neutral. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seeking is passion. Today, I believe in your faith, even as some of you are starting the journey, some of you have been on this journey for a while, that God wants to renew the passion in your life to seek with passion. There's an energy. There is a tenacity to this seeking thing. I've learned this in marriage, celebrating 24 years next month, that if you're going to have a good marriage, you got to keep seeking your spouse. You got to keep deliberately, intentionally going after connection and relationship. Anything casual never lasts. Casual Christianity will get us nowhere. There's something about seeking. But then he goes, seek first. I love that, first. There's never been a time with more competing priorities. It's the greatest challenges of life, isn't it? The more people I talk to, I was talking to one of our brilliant team members recently, a small group, and they just wrote a book about, literally about how to navigate competing priorities, how to streamline your life and be effective. And the conversations we have as staff and at home and myself, it's always about how to get things done effectively. Competing priorities is one of the greatest challenges of life. Who gets my resources first? Resources, attention, effort, possessions, focus, time. That is the battle so many of us are in, aren't we? Some of you even today are going, how am I going to get to church that interrupts with this thing and I got to navigate work and this hobby and this my kids in this sport and who gets your time? Seek first the kingdom of God. There is a race of runners trying to get first place in my priorities. I've never had more runners line up for the race to get my priority and get my attention. There's never been more time with more runners in this race. It wasn't always this way, was it? Now, this is the time in the sermon where I'm going to sound really old. So all you old people, you're going to enjoy this part. The rest of you, you under 30s, are just going to hang on for a minute. But it used to be different than this. I remember as a kid, I remember my friends would knock on my door. They didn't text us. They didn't DM us. They knocked on my door. And they knocked on my door and said, can Mike come out to play? And my mother would say, Mike is having a snack. Mike is having a nap. And then Mike is doing his homework. But he can come out after that. I remember there was a buffer between my priorities. My mother helped my priorities. But I remember back in the day, it was simpler. It's like, no. There's a nap, there's a snack, and then Mike has to do his homework. Then you can go play. I remember as a teenager, our favorite shows came on at 9 o'clock on Friday nights. Come on, where's my Full House people? Where's my Steve Urkel fans? I just lost so many people in this room. But some of you are like, did I do that? If you're laughing, you're old, just so you know. There is a reason why our favorite shows came on at 9 o'clock at night. Because Hollywood knew that we had priorities. They knew there was get home from school. There was supper time as a family. They knew that there was homework to be done, part-time jobs to be had. There were sports practices to go to. And after that, when you get home around 9, 9:30, that's when the best shows came on. You'd always tell a show that was new because it would come on at 7. They said, we'll try it there. No one really watches at 7. Because why? Hollywood knew you can't get them all the time. There's priorities. That's why our shows, you couldn't just watch them when you wanted. There wasn't on demand. There wasn't streaming. And if you didn't make it 9:30, you had to ask your friends what happened. And if you were from the rich families, you had a VCR that could record it. VCRs were these things we used to have. That if you were really old, you had a beta machine, but I don't got time to go there. Competing priorities. I remember work. Work was different. We didn't have the same amount of competing priorities. Work. You used to get your messages on a red light on your phone. Come on, some remember what I'm talking about. You used to have an office and the red light was blinking. It means someone left you a message. Phones used to be attached to the wall at one time. And your priorities was, I'm not going to check that red light until I've gone through my meetings, completed my work, and got through my projects. And before I leave the office, I will check that red light. It's not like that anymore. Home has changed. It used to be, I'm not checking the mail. We used to write letters to each other. And get bills and get mail and get letters. And I'm not checking the mail at home until I'm home from work and supper is over and the kids are bathed and then I'll go through the mail. Now there are more runners at the line of the starting race to be a priority than ever before. Now, that text message, that email crosses the finish line to grab my attention on my side night table before my feet even hit the floor to start my day. It already won my attention before I even get out of bed. It has changed. But God says, Jesus says here, seek first the kingdom of God. It's talking about priority. It's never been harder to deal with seeking with competing priorities. That word seek is over 500 times in Scripture. Many of them deal with the Lord and seeking God. And there's actually 7 different root words when it comes to seeking God. Let me give you a few verses about seeking God. Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Psalm 27:8. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. To seek is deliberate, search for, go after, prioritize, to pursue with intensity and passion. I'm so thankful Jesus pursued us. Watch this, Luke 19:10, talking about Jesus. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. I am so thankful, I don't know about you, that God was not casual about finding me. I'm so glad that God didn't, you know, when I get around to saving Mike, when I get around to finding Mike, when I get around to helping some of us, when I get time in my priority list, I will get around to doing that. God so loved the world. Jesus seek and save the lost. He was intentional. He was passionate. He was all in. I'm so thankful God was intentional with his passion for me, aren't you? Thank God he saw it and saved the lost. This is the same kind of passion that he's talking about here. Seek first the kingdom of God. What does it mean to seek God? First of all, God's not lost. He's not missing. Seeking, some of you are like, what does it mean to seek God? Why are we seeking God? It means to prioritize your relationship with Jesus. Seeking the kingdom first is seeking the king. That's what it means. You're seeking King Jesus. It's awareness of God's presence in your life. You heard people say, even last week at Easter, even on Sunday mornings, you'll hear this. People come out of church going, man, I felt the presence of God in church. Man, I couldn't help but cry. I just felt peace. I was overwhelmed. We had someone last week going, man, I just felt the presence of God. I had one of our team members talk about seeing their kids worship and seeing people worship going, man, I felt the presence of God. And when you seek God, when you seek the kingdom, what you're saying is, I'm aware of his presence. Prayer room on Friday, I mentioned it. There was something happened in the prayer room on Friday for those that were there. Something happened. We had a plan. We had notes. We were going somewhere. And then Holy Spirit just interrupted it. Interrupted that meeting. I was very aware that his presence was there. Seeking God is an awareness of his presence. Exodus 33:14-15. The Lord replied to Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And Moses says to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Seeking first the kingdom of God is an awareness of, it's not talents, it's not marketing, it's not your effort, it's not your hustle or your muscle, it's the presence of God. Seeking first is prioritizing God leading your life. And in the middle of the hustle that we have for life and bills and schooling and relationships and business and church, in the middle of that to go seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously, and he will add all these things that we need to our lives. So it would be harmful today for me to tell you to seek God, but not give you a how-to. I'm going to give you 3 points really quick, how to seek God. Some of you will find this helpful today. This is where my life is at and how to seek God. Number one, get your head up. Get your head up. Change your perspective. Lift your head. This week on Friday, I was on Thursday. What day is this? This is Sunday? I think it was Thursday this week. I was driving to the office, and I'm coming down a certain road, and there's this cop car on the side of the road, and he's halfway in the road, and all of a sudden he pulls into my lane with his lights on and goes, stop. And I'm like, okay, here we go. All right, God, more than I need. I'm going to need to pay this ticket. I'm like, you start doing that. You start evaluating. What did I just do? Was I going too fast? I'm like, no, I've been driving so slow recently. I'm like, I'm driving peaceful. I'm like, what? And he looks at me and goes, not you. And he looks over to the next girl. Next girl couldn't, I look over, this girl's texting on her phone driving. He pulls out into the road and literally had to put his lights on and his siren to stop her. She looks up. He's like, you. And I was like, sucker. Okay, you know. No, I said, Lord, bless her and keep her. May your face shine upon her. But sometimes we have our head down in our life, don't we? Seeking God, we're just consumed with what I don't have and what I need and where I'm at and the voices in my life. Get your head up. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, it says, look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The authors there are going, look up. Is there any armies, any support coming from the mountains? No, look higher. Put your head up higher. Look to the heavens, for your help comes from the Lord. Some of us need to understand seeking the Lord literally means getting your head up. We got our head buried in our problems and our phones and our issues and our complaints and our opinions. Get our head into some heavenly perspective. It might mean getting your head up out of the Facebook drama. Come on, somebody. Did you hear and what they did and that neighbor and they did this and what's going on and they're complaining? No, get your head up. There's something about perspective. Out of low-level conversations, out of complaining, moody opinions, up from being consumed with strangers' lives that we will never meet, but they show up on the apps on our phone. Just get our heads up. Stop looking down at small things and look up and see God. Which reminds me of our last key in Philippians 4:8. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. About things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Church, to seek God, first thing you got to get your head up and start looking for him. It's amazing when you'll seek, you'll find what you seek. The Bible says if you seek, you will find. You'll find God if you look for him. You'll find a chance to get offended or a chance to find God. It's all what you're looking for. What are you looking for today? A chance to make a difference or a chance to be hurt? I'm telling you, you'll find what you're looking for. Get our head up. The Bible says, look up to the heavens. That's where our help comes from today. Seek God. Change your focus. Change your perspective. Some of you need to change your perspective. Get your head up. Second thing, how to seek God is, I would say this, on your mark, get ready. On your mark, get ready. It's interesting, one of the seven words used to describe seek in Scripture, in the Bible, literally means to dawn, or to rise early and seek the Lord. Now, I just lost all the night people in the room. Watch this in Psalm 63, verse 1. Oh God, you are my God, I earnestly search for you. If you jump over to another version, here's the way the author writes it, translates it a little differently. Oh God, you are my God, early I will seek you. Here's what I've learned in my life. Early isn't more holy, but early is more focused. And there's a race for my focus of priorities and seeking first. I'm realizing early is no more holy, but it is more focused. And before the other runners in the race can start overtaking me, I start with Jesus. And in my own life, I've been deeply convicted about this year. I've started this year, and I was finding that my day was running me instead of me running my day. You ever feel like that? See, I'm a night person by nature, and part of it is because I did youth ministry for over 20 years. We don't start doing anything good or fun until 8 o'clock at night when you're a youth pastor. I've had more midnight slices of pizza than any one man should ever have. I'm just a night person. I just love the night, but I realized that I was waking up feeling behind. Maybe some of you can relate to this. I believe this is more than a verse today. It might be a conviction for some of us. I wake up feeling behind on texts and emails going, that email already came in because someone timed it to go at 7 a.m. And all of a sudden, it's now on my mind. I've got to deal with that priority. And I'm running behind to get the dog out and running behind to get the garbage out. Is it green bin day? Is it blue day? I don't know. What does the app say? I check my app to try to find out what day it is. And there's that email. Now I'm feeling behind. Got to get my daughter's stand filled. That takes 2 hours to fill that thing. Her stand water bottle. That's a whole day right there. I'm behind getting the stairs shoveled. I'm behind driving the kids to school. And I don't have time for God. I tell God as I'm driving to work, I'll meet with you at lunch. I'll carve out some time at lunch. And then lunchtime, an urgent meeting comes in that I have to push. I got to call that person and deal with that thing. And then I get pushed. And I tell God, I'll deal with you. I'll meet with you and have time with you after work. And then I end up going late because a meeting doesn't end on time. And someone needs my time. And I get home. And I got to drive my daughter to work. Or I got to deal with something at home. And then I'm like, after the gym, because I need to go to the gym. After the gym, I'm like, I'm too tired now, God. But I'm not too tired to watch that show. I really want to watch that. I'm working on my golf swing. I'm going to watch that golf show. And when that's done, I'm like, God, I got to get up early tomorrow. And I keep putting God off. And distraction turns to guilt. And guilt turns to casualness. And casualness turns to apathy. Am I the only one in this room? I've been deeply convicted and moved to seek early this winter. And I'm on this journey. And I've realized I had to change my body clock. That is hard to do. Hard to do. Now it's 10 o'clock. I'm like, it's so late. I got to get to bed. It's 10 o'clock. I'm like, I'm not as fun as I used to be. But I'm feeling focused and I'm feeling his presence in my life. And the more I seek the king, the more I find the king. And the more I find the king, the more I want to seek the king. And it's amazing how when you seek first, something starts to happen. Something's happening. Other things are being added to my life as I seek first the kingdom of God. There's righteousness, peace, and joy being added to my life. And I have so far to go. But I'm on this personal journey. Why? Because I've realized casualness gets me nowhere. And life is competing for my attention. And usually, God loses in that race. Because I'm not focused. But as I start to seek first with passion and priority, something starts to happen. Number three, how do I seek the kingdom of God? Is less is more. Less is more. I love Airbnbs. If you have an Airbnb, I love Airbnbs. Anybody ever rent an Airbnb? I love them. I love going to cool hotels, and some of you renovate your homes, and we visit them. And I love this thing that happened years ago, this process called open concept. So I was growing up, there was walls for everything. Like, you had walls in your walls. Like, there was just walls. You had more rooms. Like, there's just walls. And then something happened years ago. It's open concept. And they started going in, and there was no more kitchen. Kitchen is floating in the living room. The living room's floating in the den. There is no... When I grew up, you had a dining room that you never used except when company came over. You had a hutch in there with dishes that you never used. They were called china, and you used to use these and bring them out. And it was like a special room. Now those walls are gone. It's just one big open concept. And I love it because these rooms are decluttered. I love going to Airbnbs because everything is so spacious and it's so wide open. And what happens over time in my house, and maybe it's like yours, is you start to get things cluttered up. Am I the only one? You start off, you move in, you're like, open concept. The counters are clear. And then it's like, well, I need to make toast. So you leave the toaster on the counter. Come on. And then it's like, well, it fits there. It's kind of a nice, it's nice stainless steel. We'll leave that there. And then I need a kettle. And then you start boiling a kettle and then your coffee pot. And then there's cookbooks, and then there's the mail that you open but you haven't processed yet, and you know you have to get around to it, so you leave that on the counter, and then it's the kids' homework that we have to sign when it's done. Don't forget, you need to sign it. I'll leave it out so you can sign it, and you leave it out so I can sign it. And all of a sudden you start leaving the blender, because now we've gone on to smoothies, and now there's a blender on the counter. And then I got to put my keys there, because I can't forget my keys. I keep forgetting my keys. And then that one thing that I got to take with me in the morning, I'll put next to my keys. Next thing you know, there's clutter everywhere. I realize my heart is like that. Our lives are like that. We start getting so full. Seeking God declutters you. Less is more. The religious, we're always about making things more complicated, adding things. But Jesus makes it simple. Look at this in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 38. They're testing Jesus. They're trying to clutter up. Jesus, what commandment? What's the list? What do we got to do? How much do we have to do? We're going to add things to people that they have to do and follow you. And they said, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? There's no important commandment. They're all important. Let's see if we can heap on more on people and clutter up their lives. Jesus in verse 37, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus goes, if you just do this, if you just love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, that's it. Just love God. Let's just declutter the whole thing. Yeah, but how often do I have to do this, and how much do I have to give? And how? No, listen, if you love God, with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, the rest will take care of itself. Just let's just simplify. Yeah, but do we sacrifice on the mountain or in the temple? Do we go over here? Do we go over there? Do we have to wear this clothes or that clothes? And what's the tradition? What's the habit? What do we got to do? And he goes, no, just declutter. Get rid of all the junk. Get rid of all the stuff. Just go love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Less is more. Church, I want to encourage you in this season. Some of you want to lean in here. If you want revival in your life, less is more. Delete some apps. I dare you. Delete some apps. Streamline priorities. Remove the many voices trying to fill your space. And take your peace. Unsubscribe to a lot of podcasts. We just get voices. I watch less news. I'm not saying be uninformed. I'm saying there's competing and clutter in our minds. We wonder why we can't hear God, because we have so many voices screaming at us. Declutter and make room for Jesus. Let me read our key verse again today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. Church, seek the king. I saw this stat this week, and it said regular attendance in church. Regular attendance. These are the people that are all in. Is 1 to 2 times a month. one to two times a month. If you just that is the core. That is your all in, one to two times a month. And I thought, I looked it through the lens of seek first the kingdom of God. There's so many statistics right now of families and marriages and singles and pastors and churches that are falling to other moral failures or bad decisions or just indifference and closing doors and just casualness. And I actually said this out loud at a coffee shop. I said it out loud. I said, Mike, you will be a story, not a statistic. You'll be a story, not a statistic of indifference or loss. Church, I want you to say it out loud in your spirit today. I want you to think this. You'll be a story, not a statistic. Refused to go by the wayside going, I was strong in my faith, man. I got baptized and filled with God's presence. I was going after God, and then I got some time under my belt, and I got some busyness, and I got some relationships, and I got some stuff. And now it's, you know, when I get around to it, if I can get there on time, if I can make room for God during the week, and Jesus says, no, seek first. Passionately pursue, top priority, his presence. And when you seek the King, you find the King. When you find the King, you want to seek the King. Something starts to happen. And here's the beauty of the promise. Jesus knows what you need. And when you seek first, he'll add what you need. God is adding things to my life that I've never had. I have a level of peace I have never had. Someone said to me last week at the Cohen, how you feeling? I'm like, peaceful. They're like, I can feel that. I'm like, I can feel it too. Righteousness, peace, and joy is the kingdom of God. If you seek first the kingdom of God, he'll start adding things. All over this place, can we stand to our feet today? We're going to worship. I want to give you a moment today to chew on that. Seek first. Seek. Passionately pursue. Not casual, not half-hearted, not... That's why this little 5'2" preacher, Pastor Nancy, has some fire in her. She said, come on, you got to sing a little bit. Why? Because there's some passion, understanding that when you seek, it's not just a, oh, I want God. Oh, I want him passionately. I want to pursue, like starting that business, building that home, launching that church, that fitness challenge, that changing your career. You don't get it by just going, oh, I'll get around to it. No, there's a passion. Seek first. There is a race lining up every single day to win your attention. And God goes, no, I don't compete with anyone. Seek and make time. Some of you, God wants to convict you to change things in your life. Maybe it's get up early. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. And when I start to seek first, he starts to add things to my life. He'll take care of what I need. Some of you, your list is long what you need, but God says, seek first. And it starts with seeking. Let me bless you as we get ready to worship. Father, I thank you for this church. Holy Spirit, I even feel now that you're convicting and encouraging and calling. God, forgive us where we've pushed you down and pushed you back, and we've kind of, we'll get around to you. We'll figure it out down the road. God, right now, we just hear your calling for more. Your calling for community. Your calling for relationship. And we say, God, seek first. Help us today. Oh, God, I pray there'd be a passion in this room. I pray there would be a core belief in this room that you are good and you are God. And we will seek the King. Father God, what our city needs is the King. What our families need is the King. What our children need is the King. God, we need a King today. Father God, we seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously following your passion. Father, help us today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, church. Can we sing today? Let's sing and worship. Oh, he's worthy of it all today. He's worthy of it all.
Seek first the King.
Oh, come on, church.
Blessing of
going to switch it up. We're going to sing Worthy of It All. Pastor Matt was giving her, but the lyrics weren't on the screen, so they had no idea what you were singing. But I know Worthy of It All. I don't want to prolong this today, but we need to have a moment right now where God's calling us to seek first the kingdom of God. And some of you need to wrestle with it. So embracing the awkwardness, I want to switch it up today and just take a moment and make an altar in this space where you're sitting, where you're standing, that He is worthy of it all. As an anthem, as a prayer, as a declaration that the race for my priorities and all the things and the casualness that wants to take over our life, we say He is worthy of seeking first. So in this place, if you're comfortable, as we sing this song with hands raised and eyes closed, would you make an altar right where you are and go, I will seek the Lord. He is worthy of it all. Team, as you lead us even now, come on, let's sing it. As one voice, one anthem, one prayer, He's worthy of it all. I bless your church today. I bless your presence. God, I pray there be an awareness of your presence. We seek first. I pray their heads would lift up. Father, I pray their heads would lift up today. I pray they see change of perspective. I pray ready, on your mark, get set, go. I pray that we are prioritizing today. That, Father, we put you first. That before that race takes off in our life, we would put you first. And God, right now, I pray less is more. I pray we make room today. Make room for your presence. Make room for your grace. Make room for time. God, we seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously. And God, we know from all things come from you. You look after our needs. I bless them with your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, and everybody said, have an amazing week. Ladies' prayer Monday night. Coffee's flowing upstairs. Grab your kids. Next Steps is happening. If you're a guest, stop by the yellow wall. We would love to see you there. Have an amazing week. We'll see you back here 1 o'clock next Sunday afternoon.